Hey, this is Mike Kosicki, tight end for the Miami Dolphins, and you are listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Monday, October 12th, the Fantasy Footballers. Back with you. Another episode of the show. Mm-hmm. Like we do.
Every day.
Every day. Twitter at the FFBallers. TheFantasyFootballers.com is the website. Jason Moore, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, right? I'm Andy Holloway. Jason, how are you doing this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing very well. I feel rejuvenated from the weekend. I'm excited for a hopeful Tuesday night football. It's gonna be a great week.
Yeah, we got some good news this morning, right? We understand that there have been no more positive tests for either the Patriots, was delayed, or I guess postponed to next week, or the Titans.
So far, so good.
Who we hope are playing on Tuesday, and more than us, the NFL hopes is playing on Tuesday rather than completely turn the schedule upside down. So, yeah, that's good news. Mm-hmm. I wake up in the morning. We're on the West Coast. I reach for the phone. I say a prayer. Yep. And we check the news every day. So, yeah, lots going on. We've got studs and duds on the show today, the weekly rewind, some injuries, some fun stories from the weekend. Fun for some, not as fun for others. And it's Monday Pun Day, so let's get sophisticated.
Oh!
Mike, I'll let you start this. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I will start this with Chase Yaypool.
Okay. We've got Dalton Shucks.
Smiles Sanders.
Oh, gosh, that one was annoying.
Wait a minute. Josh Jacobs. Who let double yay puns in here, Brooks?
It was me, actually.
Ooh, Andy.
Clyde Edwards Meh Lair.
Clyde Edwards Nowhere.
Yeah. Terry McSnorin.
He was the RB22, fellas.
DJ Moore TDs, please.
Oh, yes.
No Allie Cox. Gigant snore.
Gigant snore. CD Bam.
Oh, Bam. DJ Shart.
DJ Shart. Tyler Higbust. Or Mike, you can take the last one, too.
Oh, yes.
Finish us up.
Zach Hurts.
We should really begin the show with your reflections, your analysis, your unbiased observations on Zach Ertz.
Do we have the audio? Because if we could throw to the audio, I mean, I guess I could just repeat it when I say, hey, guys, I think Zach Ertz is washed.
The evidence for your claim
it is mounting.
Has been further added to, what did you say, 15 yards receiving over the past 2 weeks,
yeah,
in weeks when there was no Dallas Goedert or receiving options, where somebody named Travis Fulgham,
yes,
is now a dominant wide receiver, and Zach Ertz has all but disappeared.
Yeah, when you go into...
Just like his separation. Like,
when you go into the boss's office, and you're like, hey, boss man, I'm looking for a raise. You know, I'd really love to secure my place.
Yeah, Brooks
on
does
this
that almost every week.
And they're like, okay... You know, show us your worth to the team. And he's like, okay, Mr. Bossman, don't worry. I'll show you my worth to this team.
There are two options, Mike. There is option one, you're right. And Zach Ertz is not the same player anymore.
Right.
Based on what, I was watching with you. You have an attention to detail because he's been your starting tight end in our league of record. The other option is that it's an Odell Beckham Jr. situation from last year.
It could
where
be.
There's some sort of injury that there are no other options. There's no option to say Zach Ertz is elite and Carson Wentz is missing him.
Yeah, the separation is gone currently. And then you had the play where he just like Zach Ertz is a big dude. He is a big strong dude. And then someone who looked to be 50 pounds lighter than him brought him down on the 1 yard line, and it was Zach Ertz last year or 2 years ago. Zach Ertz easily scores a touchdown, and he just got taken down like a pillow full of feathers.
Yeah.
So I will give him the benefit of the doubt. Something may be going on that we aren't aware of. What do you do now? As a fantasy manager?
Yeah.
Nothing. And this was the regret. I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and I said, I knew I should have tried to trade him last week, but his name was Zach Ertz, and I felt like I was on this island of, I need to bail out on Zach Ertz. I got in, and everyone's like, no, let's give Zach Ertz some more time. And now it's done. No one will trade me for Zach Ertz.
That is accurate.
I looked at your team last week, and I thought to myself, you've got Zach Ertz. I might go make a deal. And then I went and I looked at our rosters and I went, what if he's washed? He might be. I'm not. I don't want to hold the bag. So I didn't offer you anything because I think it really hasn't looked good. And
all you could do is, if you have Zach Ertz at this point, all you can do is wait. I mean, you could bench him and roster two tight ends, but no one is going to trade for Zach Ertz right now and give you anything of value.
He'll get a Jimmy Graham touchdown here soon, and then you trade him.
Yes. Yeah, there are a few players in the probably should trade him this week after a touchdown category. Let's get into the rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
All right, the Bills-Titans game, it is scheduled for Tuesday at 7 Eastern. It is still scheduled for Tuesday at 7 Eastern. The Titans had another positive test on Sunday morning. It was from a staff member that had not been in the facility for the last 2 weeks, so they are hopeful. This is why the NFL hasn't instantaneously just canceled this game the way they did the Patriots game. There are a bunch of ramifications from the Patriots-Broncos having to take a Week 5 bye. The message is check your schedule. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Don't pretend that it's all the same.
I would add, you can't really plan ahead for your bye weeks. You know what I mean? If you're looking and you're like, oh, these players are on bye in week 9, I need to make this roster move. You don't know. The bye weeks are going to be utilized for schedule changes, and even teams that are not affected or have no COVID results on that team are going to be affected scheduling-wise.
Yeah, for instance, the Chargers, who originally had a week 10 bye, they now have a week 6 bye, so there are adjustments. That's a good point. We don't pay a lot of attention to bye weeks in general. If you listen to us before the season, it's not a huge impact to the way we draft because we know that we are navigating these rosters. There are players like Zach Ertz and others that bust and move out of your lineup. So continue to not pay much attention to them.
This year is a survival of the fittest. You got to make do. My personal team in League of Record is just, oh, man, it's not been fun. But this is, you know, this is what you got to struggle through. And on that note, the Megalo Bowl. So we've talked about in our home leagues, we're making this thing with these Tuesday night games where you can roster a replacement. You announce who it's going to be. For instance, if the Tuesday night game doesn't happen, I've announced that Jared Goff on my bench will be my starter over Josh Allen. So I would get him. And I know we've had a lot of people in the Megalo Bowl reach out and say, mm-hmm. okay, well, you know, what are we doing there? That's a lot of work on a commissioner for updating 11 other teams. There are 7,000 teams. The Megalo Bowl is a slugfest. This is a prove your worth. You're going to have to deal with all of these things. Play your best roster, make your best decisions and guesses, and go to work. That's it. I mean, the message here is
shoot your shot.
Call. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not how we would want it to be for anybody, this whole COVID enigma year, mm-hmm. but it is what it is in the Megalo Bowl. Like you said, it's over 8,000 teams, actually, and we have one main commissioner kind of administrating bad situations in that league. It's just impossible for him to get through it all.
Yeah, so no commish changes. Just start who you think has the best chance of scoring the most points this week.
I have not been injuries happen all the time in the NFL. Mm. But the Dak Prescott injury specifically this past weekend was one of the worst that I can remember when you factor everything together. Carted off the field, a compound fracture of his ankle, a dislocation, and an instant surgery last night, which went well. Thoughts and prayers with Dak.
It was so sad. Wild. So yesterday, Andy and I were here at the studio, and we had our own slugfest going on. We were matched up just coincidentally in our League of Record and our Dynasty League. So we were going back and forth. It was a super fun day. And the Dak Prescott injury happens. We're like, wait, what happened? Oh, and then the air of the room just completely went out, and it was like, man, fantasy football this feels kind of weird right now, but just like football, you know, next man up. Andy Dalton is now the starting quarterback. It sounds like for Dak, he will be ready to go. So, like, this is, I know the discussions online are the long-term contract for Dak. He was playing under the franchise tag. He only had the 1 year of guaranteed money. Dak should be back, and he should still receive the money that he is truly deserved as a franchise quarterback.
If they're confident of the return, Mike, I was telling you yesterday, I wish Jerry Jones would give him it tomorrow. I wish that was the motivation for the rehab on the way back. But like you said, it's a lot of money, too, and you got to know a player's going to be okay.
It is a business. Yep.
But let's talk about the fantasy fallout of that situation.
Sure.
Because there are injuries every week, and obviously Dak is high profile, but also has implications on CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and I think Dalton Schultz. You know, it seemed like he was a pickup last week that you could throw into your lineup. He has one catch this week, and now you have Andy Dalton moving forward. He doesn't seem to be the player that I would go pivot to if I had a Zach Ertz.
No, the way that I see it is it takes all of these wide receiver receiving options and moves them down to 75% of what they were. Now, 75% of what they were is still good. Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb will be decent players. Dalton Schultz, probably not worth it now. The other three, I think, will take a hit. But I also think Andy Dalton himself is going to be 75% of Dak, and that is really good as far as someone on the waivers. So it's, you know, we'll talk about it more in depth tomorrow, but I think all three wide receivers take a hit across the board.
All right, this was one aspect of our slugfest that Mike and I were having. Dalvin Cook left week 5 against the Seahawks last night with a groin injury. It really seemed like there was no way they could stop him in this game.
And Dalvin Cook was on his way to having like a season performance against the Seahawks. They could not stop the run, and that was evidenced yet further. Alexander Mattison, the backup for Minnesota, came in. Put up a hundo on them as well. Dalvin Cook, had he not left with a groin injury, man, what could have been? Unfortunate.
Yeah, so he'll have an MRI today. We don't know how long he'll be out. I assume probably at least a week.
At least.
And he did come back out on the sideline. Seemed like he wanted to give it a go. Realized he couldn't.
Well, he went out back on the field.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he took one snap. It was a passing play, and then he tapped out. He said, no, this is
that
not
is,
a good idea.
That is encouraging to me from the perspective that if you get that, to that point, he wasn't grimacing in pain in the locker room. He was trying to go back out there. Maybe it'll be a shorter-term injury. I will remind people, though, with Madison just carving up the Seahawks defense, it reminds me a little bit of what D'Ernest Johnson did the week before against the Cowboys alongside Kareem Hunt after the injury. Let's just remember that the Seahawks are the defense here.
Well, but the Seahawks coming into the game were ranked very highly against running backs, but this it was
not by my eyeballs last night. I'll tell you that.
I know that, but this is a situation of perhaps the pass defense was just so horrendous that the numbers were a bit of a liar.
We didn't get to see Madison when Cook was injured last year.
Right.
We saw Mike Boone, a little bit of CJ Ham mixed in.
I mean, Madison's a very good player, and he will be a 3-down running back. He's the top ad of the week for tomorrow's waiver show.
Hey, spoiler, you gotta tune in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might depend a little bit on what your team needs tomorrow, but Deontay Johnson exited early with a back injury, paving the way for the Chase Claypool plays against me in a dynasty league. Mike started him. I don't know why. And
Mapletron, I started him, really out of necessity. It is a 2-flex dynasty league, and my team is just ravaged with injuries. And Chase Claypool was a dart throw, which, by the way, a dart throw that was highlighted in our DFS pass. And we got word a listener placed 5th in the Millie Maker.
Whoa.
Using listening to the DFS podcast hosted by Matthew Betts and Kyle the Borgogan Borgononi. And so this listener came away with a cool bit of
cash.
Yeah, Mike, the line between necessity and genius is very fine.
It is very, very
you look
thin,
like a
yeah.
genius. Yeah, the dart throw article also highlighted the number one quarterback on the week, which was Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Guess we should have sent in the car.
DFSPass.com.
DJ Chark exited with an ankle injury.
Yeah, I mean, he was
second injury of the year for Chark.
Yeah, it's rough. This is turning into a up and down season here for DJ Chark. He was really doing very little before the injury. So if, when you're looking at a stat line, don't try and take solace in the injury of saying, well, he could have had a game. No, he was a bit hobbled.
Kareem Hunt did have some cramps at the end of the game. D'Ernest Johnson's 8 carries came during that time, or 6 of the 8. He was not involved in this offense.
It was all Kareem.
If there were player props on hamstring injuries, these next two injuries would be who I'd bet on. A.J. Green, Sammy Watkins, both
it's me.
Suffered a hamstring injury 5 years ago and also 4 years ago and 3 years ago and 2 years ago and this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen suffered an arm injury. This was a feel-good part of the day. Alex Smith took his first snaps. Everybody was terrified on earth. But Kyle Allen is going to remain the starter against the Giants.
He is. And Alex Smith, it was a feel-good story. It was a pretty incredible moment to see Alex Smith come back. If you followed the story at all, if you watched the documentary, unbelievable what Alex Smith has been able to accomplish with willpower, with modern medicine. The dude gave Aaron Donald a piggyback ride. I don't know if people saw that happen. It's like, congratulations to Alex Smith, but Kyle Allen is still the starter.
Yeah, if I was coming back, I would probably not choose the Aaron Donald experience mm-hmm. on the way back in, but props to Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another firing. Dan Quinn is gone as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris, the interim head coach. The Dan Quinn era is over, and the Adam Gase era continues.
Of course it does.
Michael Thomas, this was a shock, a surprise. We thought he might miss the game.
Yeah, totally called this one, fellas.
But not for disciplinary reasons. He had an altercation. He punched a teammate at practice through the weekend.
For disciplinary reasons. That's why he missed, not for injury reasons.
You can't be punching people. Come on.
Yeah, and if you're going to send a message, you might as well do it when he could use an extra week off for an injury.
Well, that tomato, tomato.
Jared Cook is expected to play tonight. This was on the fence, but he's going to play, and we'll see what he can do.
And before we move into this week's Stud Muffins, want to thank today's sponsor, Foot Clan. It's Omaha Steaks, baby.
Yeah.
Longtime supporter of this show, longtime supporter of my mouth. Because I love me some Omaha steaks. You know this. You know that we're grilling all the time.
So good.
The burgers are absolutely incredible from Omaha Steaks. And right now, you can get a gourmet assortment of best sellers with an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com. You enter the code FOOTBALLERS into the search bar. And for this week, Funkland, Omaha Steaks is going to add 2 pounds of premium ground beef for free with your order, plus free shipping.
Is that hashtag bonus beef?
That would be called the bonus beef.
Bonus.
Look, you get the Butcher's Bestsellers package. That includes the famous bacon-wrapped filet mignon. Fellas, we might have to cut the show short.
I'm starving.
Because now I'm getting hungry. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter footballers in the search bar for exclusive offers. Not available anywhere else. Don't forget, when you order today, Omaha Steaks will add 2 pounds of premium ground beef and free shipping. Omaha Steaks has been bringing people together for over 100 years. Enjoy family. Enjoy friends. Enjoy the best steak of your life.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
All right, let's start at the quarterback position. Let's reflect on some of these big-time performances this weekend. Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great game, had 2 touchdowns, called back in this game on penalty, a 75,000-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Called back on a penalty, and also a Clyde Edwards-Helaire touchdown.
And that one hurt me personally.
Yeah, yeah, and I know in the Monday Punday, you kind of reacted to mm-hmm. Clyde being included. I know you're very sensitive about that.
I am very sensitive, yes.
He did hit double digits in most league formats, but people want more, Mike. And that's why many Clyde Edwards-Helaire puns showing up.
I understand.
But to the point of what you said last week, he did score.
Yes.
It just didn't count.
That's the worst kind of score.
And you were very disappointed. But Patrick Mahomes, they lost. I mean, this was the first time they lost in almost 365 days.
It was also the first time that Patrick Mahomes has ever lost by more than 7 points.
That's crazy, including playoffs.
He's very good at football.
Impressive win for...
Yeah, oh, incredibly impressive win, yes.
And they've had more than one. This is their second really, really impressive win. One of their losses against the Patriots was on a short week. They had the week where Jacobs and Waller were kind of banged up. I think this is a team that is going to surprise. And I'm curious if speaking of the Raiders, if they're one of those teams that you see every year, there's you know, one or two teams that will just go out and put up a turd and go out and be amazing, and you just never know which version of the team you're getting. So sure. I'm not sure if it was health in a short week, and the Raiders are just actually pretty good, or if this is a streaky team.
Henry Ruggs helps a lot. Henry Ruggs is a very, very big difference. You look at the production of Derek Carr, his willingness to go downfield in the few games we have seen with Ruggs. It is night and day.
Yeah, Derek Carr was the number one overall fantasy quarterback this week, at least in our league format.
Send in the car. Send in the car.
347-3, and we said it on the show on Friday. Henry Ruggs coming back, the way that he changes the entire offense. Look, what you brought up, Jason, about is this a team that lays a turd? The answer is yes, in part because of Derek Carr, and in part because you can scheme away the underneath with Derek Carr. If you don't have Henry Ruggs over the top, or Nelson Aguilar, who's flashed now this year, it changes their entire offense. But being able to pound the ball with Jacobs, take deep shots with Ruggs, and improving on defense seems to make them a better team this year. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray keeps getting it done, 380 against the Jets. Has Dallas and Seattle the next 2 weeks. He could end up pushing for the number one overall fantasy spot at quarterback with that gone in those two matchups.
He could.
Deshaun Watson finally had a game.
Welcome in, Deshaun. Yeah.
He was freed. No Bill O'Brien. He's like, go have fun. Go play football. And also, you have this guy on your team named Brandon Cooks who's really fast. He's not retired. Go throw him the ball a lot.
Yeah, thoughts on the retirement of Brandon Cooks. His thoughts were, no, I'm not.
Yeah, he was upset.
Yeah.
We motivated
Darren Fells
him
with a big touchdown. But Deshaun Watson, this was the make or break game for him. We said that on the show last week, too. If he doesn't put up a game against Jacksonville, you start looking at pivoting more often from Deshaun Watson. It's Tennessee, Green Bay, though. A couple tough matchups in the next couple weeks. Russell Wilson was not having a game, but then had a game.
He had a really poor game that was great for fantasy. Congratulations if you have Russell Wilson. Also great for the NFL. He won the game because if you put the ball in his hands with the chance to win at the end with over a minute left to go, he's going to do it every time.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, another great fantasy week for Fitzpatrick. This was an impressive win for Miami over San Francisco.
They got Jimmy Garoppolo benched.
They beat the snot out of him.
The Miami Dolphins sent the starting quarterback for the 49ers to the bench.
The Dolphins are not the Jets or the Giants.
I mean, no.
And that should be like...
They're from Miami.
That's a solid point, Jason. But you had traditionally put those bottom-dwelling teams into a certain category. The matchup against Miami is not the same. Seattle and Miami had a competitive game. Miami just beat the crap out of the 49ers, and the 49ers mopped the floor with the Giants and Jets. So, I mean, Jared Goff, he had a game.
Oh, yes!
Nice to see the bounce back. Big Ben. Big Ben had a game, too. One of the streaming candidates for last week. 27 for 34. 3 touchdowns.
He owes somebody a bouquet of edible arrangements.
You're talking about Mr. Chase Claypool?
Yes, I am.
I will say this. With that Chase Claypool breakout, I was thinking about this. I don't know the status of Deontay Johnson's back injury.
Sure.
But if Deontay Johnson's looked great, and I assume he would have had a phenomenal game if he didn't exit with injury. But Claypool is clearly a very good dominant weapon that can be used here. And if they get all three of these players, you know, with Juju and Deontay Johnson and Claypool, Big Ben is going to have a good fantasy season, rest of season, if those three guys are out there healthy.
Yeah, that was one of the things we were saying in the office yesterday. The ceiling for Big Ben changes with the emergence of an alpha like Claypool. He is very much like the impact DK Metcalf has had on Seattle, where you have a guy. Look, I respect and love Tyler Lockett for what he is. He is not the size of DK Metcalf.
Sure.
And when you have a player and or Chase Claypool, and Claypool just manhandles people, it raises the touchdown ceiling for Big Ben.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Unstoppable Mike Davis.
Oh, was man. Was this the farewell party?
I don't know. What do you
I
guys
hope
think?
So.
Do you think CMC is on his way back?
I think he is. I think that Christian McCaffrey is back, and once Christian McCaffrey's back, he is the dude. Moving forward. But does the team look at Mike Davis and say, Christian, if you're at 85%, take it easy, man. We can get you back to 100. We're okay here with Mike Davis until you are ready to go.
Yeah, I was thinking what it would be like to be this human being. You are dominating.
Mike Davis?
Mike Davis. You are dominating in the NFL. You are legit great, not good. And whenever Christian McCaffrey comes back, it's going to be like, all right, you go warm the bench.
Yeah, and it will be that.
It will be.
Yeah, and it just shows how good Christian McCaffrey would have been over these three games. We had wondered if he would be the same player with this offense, and this offense is playing well. 9 receptions from the running back position, again, for Mike Davis. He is tied for the league lead at the running back position. That's what you wanted to hear about for Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's currently the running back 9 on the season. Whew. He didn't start 2 of the games.
Hopefully he's getting get a bag from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they actually had somebody on the depth chart this time.
Yep.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey, in previous years, there was nobody.
Sure.
Zeke, nice game for Zeke. Does Zeke take more of a responsibility for this offense at this point?
Yes, he will. And he's going to smash Arizona next week.
Yep. Todd Gurley deserves our respect. I mean, this has been a solid, solid year for Gurley. Another great week. 14 for 121 and 1. Had 5 targets in this one. And at this point in time, are you trading high on Gurley? Are you holding him? I mean, the touchdowns, I doubt they continue at this pace, but what are you doing with him?
I mean, I think if you can trade high and capitalize on the name and the fact that, I mean, he's, you know, Todd Gurley's a top 10 running back right now. He scored more fantasy points than Joe Mixon, than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, than Jonathan Taylor. You might be able to really get something great for him.
What about those 3 players?
Yeah, I would trade him for any one of those 3 players. If you could trade him straight up for those guys, done deal. Miles Sanders, I would include in that. Gurley's fantasy production has been a little bit too touchdown dependent to think that it's going to be this consistent the rest of the season.
Brand new head coach. We'll see what happens. Miles Sanders. Now, Mike and I, we were in our league of record battle, and look, you weren't feeling great about Miles Sanders starting this week against Pittsburgh, right?
No, it was an absolute terrible matchup on Sunday Live. I was expressing my concerns, my worry for Miles Sanders, and then, boom, 74-yard touchdown run for Miles Sanders, looking like an absolute savage.
You know what that feels like, Mike? When you know that your opponent has Miles Sanders against the vaunted Pittsburgh defense, and he's doing nothing. In fact, he did. He had 10 other carries in the game, other than his 74-yard touchdown run. He averaged 0.6 yards per carry on those.
Yeah, so 74-yard touchdown run. Finished the game with 80 yards on the ground, but he did have the 2 touchdowns. So, look, he dominated for fantasy purposes. It turned into a great play. But that was, if
don't
the,
be
the process was correct, saying be scared to start him.
Don't be fooled going forward that the Steelers' run defense is soft or, you know.
Right.
They are elite. There was one play on the season that did not work.
But this will disrupt the analytics because he scored another touchdown, which means the fantasy points given up to the running back position for the Steelers this week was awful.
Uh-huh.
And not true of the circumstances, really. Although, at least we know they can give up a 74-yard run. Josh Jacobs, another great game from Jacobs. Mm-hmm.
This was so funny because we talked about how Jacobs really, so far in his short career, his good games come in wins. I mean, you know, his multi-touchdown games, they come in wins. This is a game where they're on the road, heavily underdog. This isn't going to be a good game for Jacobs. But then it turns out that the Raiders put up 40 and win the game, and it's a great game for Jacobs. He looks like it. We were right in the sense that in games that the Raiders win, Jacobs is very good. We were just wrong that they – I mean, what would you have put the odds that the Raiders win this game?
Very 10, low.
10%?
Yeah, it didn't look like it was going to happen, and neither did Jacobs' good game until they started getting going. Mm-hmm. He's the RB6 on the season, but this is why players like Mixon and Jacobs, you just play them every week. You don't try to chase other points elsewhere. You just play your studs. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Chase Edmonds.
Mm.
3 for 36 and a touchdown on the ground. 6 targets again. 5 for 56 through the air. Dallas, Seattle, those good matchups. But Kenyon Drake was 18 for 60 and 1. I don't know where he would live in today's show. I guess he would live further on the good than bad. But I will tell you, I watched every one of those 18 carries. I was very discouraged with what I saw. A player running slowly, laterally. He honestly looked like David Johnson in Arizona last year. It was great that he got into the end zone. If it's me, I'm trying as hard as I can to cash in on Kenyon Drake this week. What do you guys think?
I would trade him.
Yeah, I don't blame you cashing in on him. And I think that if you can sell high, the routes run between Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds changed this week. The passing game involvement, like if you look at the carries, this Chase Edmonds is not involved. He comes in, has great surprise touchdown run. But carry count, it's all Drake. And I don't think that's going away, even with the inefficiencies of Drake. But what we've really been missing is the involvement in the passing game for Drake. And we said there was going to be change this week. Either they're going to get him more involved or Chase is going to be more involved. And Chase was more involved. So to your point, Andy, I think, yeah, you can try to capitalize if you're afraid that it's going to be this way for the rest of the season. I also think he is getting a ton of volume, and for fantasy, that's what matters the most at the end of the day. Even if you're inefficient, you fall into the end zone and you have a decent game. And
it's called the David Montgomery approach that I've been taking.
Yeah, for Drake, it's if you can trade high, I would do it. You're not trying to get rid of Kenyon Drake for free because he's still getting the volume. But I do believe that this game signifies a drastic change in the ceiling for Kenyon Drake, seeing the 6 targets for Edmonds and the 1 for Drake.
I just want to remember, because there are not many people that get the amount of workload that Drake has been getting. Like, there's,
sure.
You know, you can count them on both your hands, and that's it. And so getting out is a little worrisome in the sense that, you know, last year we saw this with Joe Mixon, right? He was 3 yards a carry through the first half of the season. Inefficient. Yep.
And I don't want to harp on, this is just opinions, right?
Sure.
But I do want to stress the fact that Kenyon Drake looks terrible running the football. This is not a player that looks anything like last year. Joe Mixon, watching him at the beginning of the year last year, in my opinion, was running as hard as he ever had run, and it came to fruition later. If I were planting my flag, I'd be planting my flag on disappointment. And if he didn't fall into the end zone yesterday, we would have been telling you to get out. This is just my opinion.
Sure.
I understand the volume argument. I just saw a really, really bad player. I don't know what happened. We said he gained weight. There's a lot of talk about, I saw on Twitter, a lot of talk about the boot.
Mm-hmm.
There could be an injury here. There's got to be something that happened because he doesn't look nearly as explosive as last year. And they're not using him in the passing game, which makes no sense if he's the same player.
Yeah.
Myles Gaskin.
Oh, the gas man.
Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch.
Yes, and that turned into a goal line carry for Myles Gaskin. This is why I kept bringing the name up. I mean, you, Jason, the volume of Kenyon Drake. You could not deny the volume of Myles Gaskin over the first couple of weeks. It was, you're never like, yeah, I'm getting Myles Gaskin, 7th round pick, and he's going to turn into a star for my fantasy team. But he could be a solid running
back
too.
Philip Lindsay year for Myles Gaskin.
It could be.
The problem with Gaskin, and what was said, is he's getting volume. He'll have a great floor. He'll get you 10 points. But when you get down around that goal line, he has no chance of scoring a touchdown
because
it's Howard. And Howard being a healthy scratch, that changes everything. Now you have a high floor with touchdown upside.
Devonta Freeman had 17 carries in this game against Dallas. He also scored. Mm-hmm. I told you last Thursday I was going to play him over Mecole Hardman.
And it worked out.
And look, It's a volume play. I don't think he looks that bad. I really don't.
He does. He looks okay, yeah.
Chase Claypool.
Oh, man.
Mapletron. 11 targets, 7 for 1, 10 and 3. Had a rushing touchdown. He ran only 23 routes, which is just incredible. This reminds me of the, was it Marvin Jones in Cincinnati when he had one of those three touchdown games?
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran almost no routes over the course of the game. Now, this is, I mean, he was more involved than Marvin Jones was. But this, everything came together for Chase Claypool this week in a breakout performance.
And I, if you've listened to the show through the offseason, you know that I was amongst those on the very front of the Claypool bandwagon. Love the guy's opportunity, the draft capital, the athletic profile of Chase Claypool, and the Steelers' hit rate with wide receivers. It was, you get this guy in your rookie drafts because he has the makeup to eventually become a number one. Now, James Washington still had a much higher route rate, 90%, compared to Chase Claypool at 67%. So this is a moment of celebration and a party for Chase Claypool, but you need to have at least some caution here. If you're going to go all in on Chase Claypool, know that this could be like the game for the season. You would expect, you would hope that Chase Claypool has proven his worth to the team, that they're going to get him far more involved, but that is not a guarantee.
I completely agree, and we have to remember Deontay Johnson got knocked out of this game at the beginning. So Deontay Johnson, Juju, James Washington, Claypool, Ebron, Connor, there are multiple weapons here.
But long-term, man, you should be excited for Claypool.
I agree, and we remember Juju. The contract.
Right.
Like, he's not coming back for the money that he
gone.
Wants.
Yep.
Travis Fulgham.
Oh, dominant.
13 targets, 10 for 152 and 1.
Unbelievable, man.
You weren't joking. He was actually dominant.
He was.
Against Pittsburgh.
He had 6 total targets in his career coming into this game.
Yeah, this would be the Eagles wide receiver. Brooks wants us to remind you.
I mean, it's, dude, good for you, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what Zach Ertz cannot do, Fulgham can. Brandon Cooks.
Well, it's because Zach Ertz is taking all the coverage because he runs these really slow, uncrisp routes.
But he's still got the name on in the back, so
yeah,
no one covers
like,
him.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we got to take out the number one option.
Yeah, this was honestly a pretty impressive performance. Like, Wentz getting it done against Pittsburgh, the game being competitive. Yep. Obviously, at the end, it fell apart. Brandon Cooks unretired. He decided to check himself out of the retirement facility without permission.
Oh,
and a good luck chasing these points.
Yeah, I mean, his of all the retirements were, you know, he's young, he's proven. There's so much change happening for the Texans. You're right, Andy, in the sense that this is chasing points. He's going to be a high volatility player that's not consistent, but I don't think.
But he can
this
still
is,
do it now.
Yeah, I don't think this is his last good game or, you know, an outlier that's not going to happen a couple times through the year. It's just really when you're playing that Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks flip of the coin, it's going to be gross. And the truth is,
it can land on Cooks.
You're going to need to start those players every single week if you want the chance of hitting those big games. These are great best ball players. And, you know, I yesterday morning, I helped my son set his lineup in our family league. He's playing for the first time. And I was like, oh, you got to take Brandon Cooks out of your lineup.
Oh, no.
Then we get alerts all day. Big play, Brandon Cooks.
Look, the disparity is highlighted in the last two games. He played 94% of snaps last week against a bad Minnesota secondary. He had 3 targets, no catches. This week against Jacksonville, 12 targets, 8 catches. It was a completely different ball game. Now, I want to be clear, though. Will Fuller still had a great game. Will Fuller still had a great fantasy week, which is, other than the week he was injured, he's been consistent each and every week. So
this the hope here is not in Brandon Cooks and not in Will Fuller. It's in Deshaun Watson. It's in the fact that the offensive guy running the show is gone, and there's a change in mentality, a change in what they might want to do and unleash Deshaun Watson, and that this could become a new normal. That is the hope that we're, you know, because we do have to recognize Bill O'Brien is gone and Deshaun Watson went off. If Deshaun Watson goes off, his receivers are going to be good.
Completely. Yeah, Adam Thielen is outstanding. Always open. I always wonder how he can just target him on every play he wants to, and it's because he's always open. He's the wide receiver one.
Is he really? Wow.
Les Brooks is lying to me.
I'm on it.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Wow. He is the wide receiver. He has three top five finishes in five games this year. If you look at his bad game, it came against the very stout Colts defense. But Atlanta next week, is that going to stand in his way from a continuing the streak?
No, he's been great. He's always been a underrated great wide receiver.
Yeah, and you know, as long as Cousins shows up, Thielen shows up, Metcalf.
He's good.
He is incredible. And if you look at his games this year, he's got, I think, four catches and like four out of five of them. He's above 90 yards in every game. He has 300-yard games. Caught two touchdowns last night, five touchdowns in five games. He is maturing into the alpha.
He is.
That you look at for future, like dynasty. I saw J.J. Zacharyson talk about this. He just tweeted it boldly. DK Metcalf, the dynasty number one pick. Do you agree with that? He's attached to Russell for the next 10 years of his career? I mean,
I
would probably take Tyreek Hill and maybe Davante Adams, probably Davante Adams. But, I mean, he's in the conversation for sure.
I think he's worthy of it. Only, you know, does Davante Adams have 2 years with Rodgers?
I don't know.
It's just interesting when you're 22 and yes. You're dominating in your second season. 22.5 yards per reception. My son was watching this game. He's got DK Metcalf. So he's just a monster fan. And so he's calling for him to be targeted on every single play. Yeah. But it feels like a player you can target on every single play because he's too big.
Mm-hmm.
You lose the risk of throwing an interception when he can out-jump you or push you to the ground as a DB.
So Metcalf won. Chase Claypool, too?
Not sure about that. DeAndre Hopkins, great game, 6 for 131 and 1. He's the wide receiver 4 on the season.
And I just did the math here on that, the drive where he scored the touchdown. In two receptions, he had 82 of his yards. So, yeah. Like on that drive, the Cardinals were buried, and two just monster passes to DeAndre Hopkins.
I was actually really happy to see the downfield targets for Hopkins on both those throws because he had been a PPR underneath kind of player. So it was nice to see him get downfield targets. Jason, you've got Jamison Crowder in our league of record.
Oh, man.
Jamison Crowder.
I love it. I love him. He's great. All he's done so far is had three great games. He missed two to injury, and outside of that, he has yet to have a game under 100 yards. A game under double-digit targets. What more do you want than someone who's just, I mean, he was the wide receiver 8, the wide receiver 20, the wide receiver 7 in his three games played. It's not going to stay there because he's already got two touchdowns in three games, and he's not I don't think the scores are going to be coming that way. But if you're telling me 10 targets, 100 yards, yes, please.
Buy, sell, hold?
Hold.
Hold. I don't think you want to buy. You're going to have to pay up and...
Maybe. I don't know. If you can get him cheaper than you should, then yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious how many of the games came on people's benches because of perception, name.
Sure.
Joe Flacco. I mean, look, he's had two great games before this week.
Yeah.
Jason, you started him, but you've kind of been backed into it.
I've been backed into starting Jamison Crowder both the last 2 weeks.
Delightfully.
Yes. It's been great.
All right, Henry Ruggs had 2 for 118 and 1. One touch guy. I mean, he's going to be somebody that you can throw out there and, like, I would say greater sign Mecole Hardman because he's more important to the offense. He's going to be running more routes than Hardman, but same type of fantasy situation.
But he's on a bye this week. Are you willing to drop him? I am.
Oh, absolutely not. No way.
No.
Henry Ruggs is a just as viable of a pickup to me as Chase Claypool is.
Through a bye. Where you can't play, you're
absolutely.
Have to, okay.
Yeah, I think he's somebody that you're going to want on your roster.
Someone hasn't been hit as hard by COVID over here. I'm like, my bench spots are worth gold right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a position where you can't roster a bye week player, then you have to drop him. But I think he is worthy of rostering. Thought he was last week. Preston Williams, five targets, 4 for 106 and 1. Nice to see him have a game. Calvin Ridley, 10 targets, 8 for 136. DJ Moore, Mike, he finally got into the end zone.
He finally did it.
Yeah, but let's look at this disparity here. 5 targets for DJ Moore, 13 targets for Robbie Anderson. Anderson with 8 and 112 again. We know who the favorite receiver is for Teddy Bridgewater. Chicago next week. What do you do with DJ Moore?
DJ Moore is a flex play who you can look at the matchup. So maybe you don't want to play him against Chicago. I don't blame you. I have DJ Moore in our league of record, and I will be, you know, I'll be looking at my bench players. Maybe I have someone who has a more preferable matchup, but he is a flex player who he can do this on a regular basis.
I completely agree with you. He's a flex player who can do this. He's going to have several more great games because he's an athletic freak who's involved in what looks to be a good offense, and I would sell high. I would sell because he on the back of a good game with draft capital still, you know, we're only a month into the season where people drafted him high. I would see if you can capitalize and upgrade because he's the wide receiver two for the team.
He has scored in 4 games over the last 2 seasons. So if there was a time to cash in, you might as well do it now if you're in that camp, if you believe what Jason's
saying. Robbie Anderson is on pace for over 150 targets. Yeah. He's a volume guy, which has never been what
Robbie
Anderson
is. And a big play guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, we already knew he had the big play potential. That's why we assumed his role was going to be downfield and, you know, less involved in the volume. But so far, I mean, we've got 5 weeks now where he's the clear number one for Teddy.
I will tell you this. I mean, fantasy football, look, we look at it all day long, every day. We watch every game. The Robbie Anderson situation, as a fantasy football manager of Robbie Anderson in a dynasty league, this has been one of the most surprising things that I've seen happen. When I didn't think I had a player of value in a dynasty league. Then he went to Carolina, and I go, oh, great. Teddy B, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. Oh, great. This was not the destination I wanted for Robbie Anderson. And I was wrong. Dead wrong. Darius Slayton, Jason, you said taking it to 100. He was great. 11 targets, 8 for 129.
Had a touchdown call back.
Yeah, he did. And he would have had an even bigger game. So that was great to see. Is he the wide receiver you start in New York?
Yeah, I mean, he's another one of those volatile players, but in a good matchup, you're going to – I think you'll be happy to start Darius Slayton more often than not.
And then you've got the big boys, Kelsey, Andrews, Waller, big tight end weeks.
That's
the order of the season.
That's just fantastic. I hate
this is how it's supposed to be.
It's how it's supposed to be. You drafted them to do this. Good job. Keep it up. Be the first, second, and third tight ends. You guys are great.
Well, there's a name missing.
Yeah, I mean, Zegers.
Zegers, yeah.
Yeah, Zegers is not one of the big names anymore.
Darren Fells, 2 targets, 2 for 57 and 1. I think Brooks put this in there because I tweeted 5 minutes before the game started that Darren Fells was going to have a game.
Also, 57 and 1 is a great game for a tight end.
Yeah, that's what's shocking. It's a top 5 game, and he had two catches. But anybody else you want to talk about in the studs that we missed?
Nope.
All right, let's move on.
Stinkers of the Week, presented by Odor Eaters.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Joe Burrow, Daniel Jones, stunk.
Look, man, Matt Ryan, I highlighted this on the Sunday Live. I've been down the road with Matt Ryan when Julio Jones is not on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Calvin Ridley's excellent. Calvin Ridley's incredible.
He had a good game.
He had a great game. But until I see Matt Ryan can actually play without Julio Jones, no thank you.
Nope.
Hard pass.
I saw so many people. So I couldn't believe how many people were upset they played Joe Burrow. I'm like, why were you playing Joe Burrow? No, he's a rookie against Baltimore. Nobody recommended to play Joe. Hundreds of Twitter comments of like, man, I knew I shouldn't have, but I did. And
it's an Icarus situation here. You flew too close to the sun.
No, this was the writing was on the wall all week long. This is not the kind of matchup you want for a rookie quarterback, and he was disastrous.
Yeah, he's going to be great. He is great. But
it's going to take a while.
He's a rookie.
Against Baltimore.
And play the matchups.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Oof, man. Oofta.
The Giants scored 34 points, and Daniel Jones didn't seem to get any of those. Fumbled again. Fumbled in 4 straight games. He loves fumbling. Fumbling is his thing. At Fumble on Twitter is his handle.
His middle name is Daniel Fumble Jones. Yeah. That's not a nickname. That's what his parents gave him.
Yeah, his parents probably should not have done that.
That I think it set him up for failure or for fumble.
Sometimes Jameis Winston fumbles and calls it a Daniel Jones. That's where we're at with Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
Daniel Fumble Jones.
Sorry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire showed up. It was 10 for 40. I think that was one of the surprising pieces. The involvement wasn't really there. Eight targets, though. I mean, I don't feel like we need to do anything with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You don't need to apologize for him, and you don't need to pretend it's better than it is. It's just he's going to have good games.
I'm still trading for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Lev Bell, 13 for 60.
And one target. One target for Le'Veon Bell. What is happening?
Which was egregious in Mike's mind.
I mean, we knew this already. This isn't shocking. He wasn't good last year with the Gase system. He wasn't good this year before the injury.
I thought they would fire him this week if he lost, and they didn't.
They really want that number one pick.
Does your opinion change heavily on Lev Bell if Gase is out the door?
Yeah.
I did watch this game and said to myself, man, the player that Lev Bell is needs a different system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. But the fact that Le'Veon Bell is getting one target is completely egregious.
Yeah, you're wasting the talent.
Yeah, you still had nine carries to Frank Gore. Like, what are you doing?
Nine too many? James Robinson, wasn't a great game. 13 for 48, 5 for 22 through the air, though. So in PPR, you were okay.
Stay the course. The volume is there.
Yeah, I like the targets. They keep coming. Antonio Gibson.
This was so insane and bizarre because Antonio Gibson, one of his player props out there was an over-under of 18.5 receiving yards. And it was, this is the easiest player prop of smash the over I think I've ever seen with Kyle Allen coming in. The Antonio Gibson hits 24 receiving yards in the first quarter. And that's what he ended up with. 5 for 24, 11 carries, 27 yards. I believe the stat was as soon as Alex Smith came in, Antonio Gibson had one touch. Like, I don't know what happened with the game plan when Smith was in and not getting Antonio Gibson the ball. But this,
you know who he got the ball to, though?
McKissick.
That's the part that's concerning. It would have been really easy to say the second the Kyle Allen switched to Smith, okay, he just didn't look Gibson's way. But Gibson wasn't on the field.
Right.
And so it was bewildering.
I don't know what happened.
Every time I looked up, it was J.D. McKissick getting a target or some involvement in the offense.
Yep. I don't know.
It was a bad game. I mean, he ends up 11 for 27 with five targets in the first quarter and nothing else.
Yes, really obnoxious to see a player on his way to a fantastic game and then just stall out in the first quarter.
Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
None.
I mean.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, one carry.
That was shocking to me.
What?
Shocking.
He only was in on 25% of snaps.
Yep.
Okay, so he was pretty much just not really a part of this game. Do you throw this game in the garbage? This is a game where you got kicked in the teeth by the Dolphins. You bench your quarterback at halftime. You take the L on the chin because that is the way I look at it. Like, I hate this, that he went out and had a bad game. But I'm not going to – like, this game was gone as soon as it started. If you were tracking the game, it was like halftime was – didn't the Dolphins have more than 30 points? It's like 30-7 or something.
It was a dominant performance by the Dolphins. It is really hard to extrapolate any information moving forward.
I don't throw the game away.
Jerick McKinnon is probably on my bench now.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game Mostert was coming back in anyways. So I don't throw it all. I mean, you're right. The game script was not one where you were going to see their running offense get going, but that is something that is going to be Mostert-centered, not McKinnon-centered. So I was worried about McKinnon with Mostert coming back to begin with. I am worried moving forward on any type of reliability with McKinnon, with Mostert back in the game. And you've got Donald next week and then the Patriots. Mm. So a couple weeks of probably benching him and seeing what happens.
Right.
Mark Ingram, 11 for 57.
Yeah, par for the course these days.
Dobbins got one carry, looked incredible on the one carry. Why isn't he getting more carries?
I don't. They're giving everyone a chance.
Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett. The sentiment I saw most often when I went through all of the puns this morning was frustration with Tyler Lockett because two great games, and then not a lot of involvement last night.
Well, it got compounded by the fact that both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf had nothing going into halftime. I think I had messaged our company Slack, like if you add the combination of the two players, it was something like two receptions for 20 yards between the two players. But then DK Metcalf goes out, blows up, ends up having a great game, and Tyler Lockett was left in the dust.
Which yeah. I think compounded the perception, but I wouldn't be worried about him.
No, I'm not worried. Yeah. Just saying the frustration.
If people are frustrated or worried, I think you go and trade for Tyler Lockett if you could get him cheap.
He's on a bye, too.
It was a rainy game, and at the end, if you remember, I mean, look, Tyler Lockett dropped the ball. He shouldn't have. He should have caught that right on the 1 yard line, might have scored the touchdown for the game winner, and then you're like, oh yeah, he would have been 65 yards and a touchdown, and DK Metcalf doesn't get that last touchdown.
Right.
This wasn't a great game for Russell Wilson in general. You saw that first half just getting sacked like crazy. I'm not worried about him at all.
I'll bring up some names. You guys just tell me if you are worried. Terry McLaurin, 7 targets, 3 for 26. Quarterback lack of continuity there.
Like I said, weird game for Washington with the going from Kyle Allen to the triumphant return of Alex Smith. We need to see some normalcy before we react.
Tyler Boyd, 6 targets. This was the Baltimore game, yep. Whatever.
Nope.
Yeah, but they've got Indy this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Boyd was probably more of the Jameson Crowder contingency plan for people than a plan.
Sure.
Juju, 5 targets, 4 for 28.
He's been touchdown dependent, and Deontay Johnson's the number one. Maybe Chase Claypool's the number one if Deontay is going to miss time. But
yeah, I would be a little bit more worried about Juju than the rest of these people that you're talking about.
Justin Jefferson, who I thought would have a much better game, stunk it up. Are you worried about Jefferson? I'm not.
He's a rookie. This is going to happen.
Debo had 8 targets, just 2 catches, probably – stand by and see what happens at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. The 8 targets is actually
nice to see.
That's very positive to me. Debo was still not in the consideration to play. He was a bench stash. You saw 35% of the snaps last week. It was okay. Let's let him work his way back from injury. But to come back to 8 targets, all right.
Deciding on certain tight ends for rest of season is something that's kind of important around week 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. who you can depend on. We talked about Zach Ertz at the top. I mean, this was terrible. 6 targets, 1 for 6. Don't need to talk about him anymore. But, you know, Dalton Schultz, just 1 catch. Tyler Higbee was 2 for 12. Everett was 4 for 90. Not a lot of routes run by either player. What are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, this is they're using them to block. I worry about both of these players. We knew this was a good matchup for tight ends. We said it could be Higbee, but it could very easily be Everett. Everett had a great game for a tight end. 90 yards for a tight end is fantastic. I'm not super excited about either of these guys.
Only 1 top 20 finish on through 5 weeks for Higbee. Might have to adjust thoughts on him. Dalton Schultz, not confident moving forward. Hayden Hurst, that experiment seems to be...
Yeah.
Look, Hayden Hurst, Russell Gage, Zacchaeus, they, if you don't have Julio, Matt Ryan is like, Ridley is okay, but without Julio, you think these other guys step up. You think, okay, this is where Russell Gage is going to be more involved in the offense. It doesn't work. Matt Ryan just isn't as good when Julio's out of the game.
Yeah, it's like marked. I mean, like a very obvious difference. All right, we might have to retire him, guys. Mo'Ali Cox had only 1 target, only ran 9 routes, and unfortunately, Trey Burton has led the team over the last 2 weeks in terms of targets and routes run. And
Mo'Ali Cox is too big to share, and when he's in a three, you know what I mean? Like when he is in a three-headed tight end group, that's unnecessary. You don't need him at all to be out there with any other tight ends. Just get rid of them. But if the coach is making the clear wrong decision of having other tight ends other than Mo Alie-Cox, then I think you obviously can't use him for fantasy.
Can I please say something out loud, Jason, that you will love?
Oh, boy, that sounds great.
There is no offense I hate watching more this season than the Indianapolis Colts.
And why, Andy?
Because Phillip Rivers sucks.
He sucks.
Every catch, I mean, T.Y. Hilton had his best game of the year, which was still not even double digits in most formats, maybe if you're in PPR. Every catch that T.Y. Hilton made in that game was sliding to the ground to catch the ball before it hit the ground. The running game can't get going. Rivers can't score touchdowns because Rodrigo Rocket Ship is the leading scorer in all of football because all they do is kick field goals.
Boom, boom,
it is
baby.
The most boring, hard-to-watch offense in football. Now, they have a defense, and they could make the playoffs and yada, yada. But for fantasy purposes, I look away.
I have a message. I need to speak directly to Frank Reich right
now. Please do.
I just want to point something out. We're silly fantasy football players, fantasy analysts.
Yes.
You know, living in mom's basement.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at the stats.
Love it down here.
Stats are for nerds.
Right.
Losers. Week one, Mo Alie-Cox was the tight end 28 against Jacksonville. That was a loss for the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
Tight end 10.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
They won.
All right.
Tight end 5. They won. Tight end 12, Mo Alie-Cox against Chicago. That was another big win. Tied for dead last among fantasy tight ends. A loss to Cleveland. Mm. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Can you, Brooks, fax that over to Frank?
Frank Reich has a fax machine for sure. Probably three of them.
Stinkers of the Week presented by Odor Eaters. Odor Eaters, the best in foot odor defense. We also want to thank Pristine Auction for once again supporting the show. They've got these elite auctions every month. These are month-long auctions that is an exclusive to the higher-end items. A Calvin Ridley, signed Falcons, full-size, Matt White, authentic on-the-field speed helmet.
Ooh, dude, that's mercy. That sounds hot.
Its current auction bid price is just $100 with 13 days left. Go check it out at pristineauction.com.
Make sure you use the code BALLERS when you sign up. That will give you $10 off your first registration. Helps us out.
That is it for today. Waiver wire show tomorrow, a big one. We'll see if Mike walks in with a Chase Claypool jersey or not. He's probably on the hunt right now. Pristine Auction, so.
Stay safe. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Foot Clan, do not forget about Omaha Steaks packages, including the Butcher's Bestseller package, which includes the bacon-wrapped filet mignon, because you're going to get, this is outstanding, at omahasteaks.com with the code FOOTBALLERS this week. 2 pounds of premium ground beef for free with your order, plus free shipping. Omaha Steaks has been bringing people together for over 100 years. Enjoy family, enjoy friends, enjoy the best steak of your life.